the ending of that song, and I've heard it, and I was just overwhelmed in that moment as our singers were ending it that way. That, if you can just capture that for a moment, that is a perfect preparation for hearing these words that are our scripture reading today. They come from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. These words were not shouted out as words from the top of the mount, but these are very intimate words that are happening between Jesus and the disciples, as well as those others who may be finding their ways, who have not moved on from the teaching Jesus was giving. But if you can just capture that for a moment, that silence, you are in a perfect place to hear these words. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or even what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span or life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, so alive today, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. We do indeed give you thanks for these words, O Lord. We ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit that you may create in our own lives, that you may give life to these words, that they truly may become living words that are formed and shaped into our very own hearts and our very own souls. And Lord, truly, draw us closer and closer into your presence. Let us, O God, as your first disciples, let us be captured by your presence. And let us truly, O God, hear your voice as it speaks to us. And Lord, I truly give you thanks for the words that you have shared with me, the ways that you have spoken into my heart. And I pray, Lord, that as I speak this morning, the words that I share, that they may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. It was not a joke that I was sharing with our children this morning. I did hear slow down several times when I was a kid. And I've got a strong suspicion that looking at all of you, that I'm not the only one, that many of y'all have heard that phrase slow down before in your life. But, you know, this is Father's Day, so I am going to tell a fishing story because, I mean, that's what's going to happen. And it's a fishing story with my dad. And you know, that's one of those things about fishing, is that I absolutely loved it and absolutely loved being able to get on the boat because, you know, I fished from a pier, fished from a bank, fished from a boat, but the boat was always my favorite. But one of the things about fishing is that it never seemed to get here fast enough. It never seemed that all the things that have to happen, you know, getting the boat ready, putting the boat on the trailer and getting it to there, and then the weather, making sure that the weather cooperates, it just seemed that it would never get there, that it would never come fast enough. And so just always, so I do think about that. I think about, you know, this This preparation for fishing and then knowing that, you know, it just, it seemed to go on forever and forever and forever, that it just never would get there. And I remember one time, in fact, when I was on the boat with my dad, it was a small boat. Now, this is not, it's not a big boat by any means, but it was a small boat with my dad. And in my eagerness to speed up this whole process, because, you know, I've had to wait. I've had to wait to get here. I had to wait to pack the sandwiches. I had to wait to get the drinks. And I had to wait for all this. And then had to wait at what was at that time this tremendous place that was down Highway 280 to get to a lake that, you know, because there was absolute isolation and wilderness. There was nothing out there except for a package store and Lloyd's Restaurant, if you remember that long ago. That was the only thing there was in this wilderness area. And so driving that way to get all the way out there, and my eagerness on the boat to make sure that, you know, I could be in the best position to catch the biggest fish of the day, because I knew that was my destination. That was exactly what was going to happen. I had to get my reel and make sure that I got the longest cast of the day as well. And so I reached back on it and find myself tugging at it, and it's not wanting to turn loose. It's not wanting to come back. And looking back and all of a sudden discovering that I have in fact caught my father on his shirt. And that is, and we both, when Jesus says, I want you to look, we both locked eyes on that day. And I'm certain, as I find myself as the father of five, I'm certain that my father was trying to figure out, was this a malicious attack or was it just an accident in this moment on the boat? It was an accident, I promise. That's exactly what it was. It was not on purpose by any means. There is a gift that we have in the New Testament. In fact, in these words that Jesus is offering us here, because it was. And until these children were standing in front of me, I had no idea about that. But when Jesus begins this Sermon on the Mount, he does it. He does it, and you can. This is one of those things that... Well, if you do have your Bible in front of you, or if you have it like electronically, it is so helpful right here. Because when you come to the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus will stand in front of a crowd. And it's not a pulpit, it's not a space like this, but it's outside. But he does find himself on a hillside. He finds himself on a hillside, and he is teaching. He is teaching to people, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That is the start. That is, in fact, the start of the conversation that he will then come down and face to face with his disciples. He will move from then as the crowds move around, as some of the crowds go back home, as some of the crowds go and they find their own provisions, they find places that they are going to leave, and then others just continue to stay with Jesus. Jesus is with his disciples, and as they have heard wonderful teaching, as they have heard these magnificent, lofty ideas about the very people that are in our world that are blessed, as Jesus, as the Son of God, has just shared with them, he will then say to them, look, slow down. What are some of the things that you are seeing? Now, if you do notice our reading from this morning, which is an extraordinarily powerful reading this morning in its own right. But if you notice that in our reading from this morning, Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus will say, therefore do not worry. This is what Jesus is ultimately inviting his disciples to experience. It's not only teaching, but is in experiencing a presence of God, so that when they find themselves in places where they may be tempted to worry, that they can rely on the presence of God to be present with them in their lives, with them in their worry, with them even in their discouragement. And essentially, all those blessings that Jesus has invited at the very beginning, the crowds to embrace, Jesus is now, and this is why it's such a wonderful gift, Jesus is now showing us step by step how to live in this kind of presence of God. You know, over the summer, we have been engaged in this conversation for a few weeks now, and finding ourselves here on Father's Day with how do we hear God's voice? You know, this question, and it's been so surprising to me, because one of the primary ways that people oftentimes, some of the interesting things that you find online, some of the interesting things that people when you find oftentimes that when people are struggling to think, how can I hear from God? How can I hear God's voice? Oftentimes there are places online that people will go, YouTube. Sermons, as far as Bible studies and everything, over and over here. But as we are engaged in this conversation about how do we hear God's voice, I want to invite you into the Gospel of John. Because in the Gospel of John, from the very beginning, you probably know this, it's one of those readings that we often gather around Christmas time, but how many of you remember these words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Does that sound familiar? It goes on. This is John chapter 1. It goes on. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. That's John chapter 1. It's verse 1 through 5. But then if you come all the way down to verse 14, you probably know these words. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. You know those? Eugene Peterson, the Message translation, he will write these words, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." And I absolutely love that. Because essentially what John invites us to experience is that when Jesus comes to live on this earth, and whether Jesus is teaching on a lofty mountain or whether Jesus is having a conversation one-on-one with his disciples, that is God's Word that has come to life. And as Peterson reminds us, it's actually God's Word that has taken on flesh and blood and lives in our very midst, lives in our neighborhood. Now, all the way back to this idea that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. So, therefore, do not worry. Jesus not only teaches them and offers them the Word of God, therefore do not worry, but he invites them first to do exactly what I was, attempting to do with our children. He says, look. And then he says, how many of you have ever noticed birds that are flying around? He says, how many of you have ever noticed those birds that are moving around? And then he says, having looked at the birds of the air, having looked at the trees and the nests that they build, now I want you to consider. Now I want to invite you that in this section of Scripture that we're taking a look at, from Matthew chapter 6, on 25 through 34, I want to invite you that there in verse 26, to take a look at that word look, and then as you come down to the latter end, almost to the very end of verse 28, notice that word consider. Because what Jesus is doing is he is inviting his disciples as the Word of God. He is inviting his disciples into a way that will lead them to places where they can experience the presence of God in their life and hear God's voice speak directly into their lives in such a way that they can embrace. Do not worry. It's not a sermon. It's not a Bible study. But as a way of life. And this is what you probably heard my eagerness as I was sharing it with our children there. But just think about this. The look that comes first and then that word consider. Well, just think about this. If there was an issue or if there was a problem that we were having, I don't know, perhaps maybe there were too many children that were going out fishing with their fathers and they kept hooking. And they kept hooking their father's shirts, the collars of their shirts, with fish hooks. Now that is my story of a fish hook. I bet y'all have much better stories of that, because that did not require a visit to the hospital. It did not require taking the hook out in the middle of the water. It did not require blood or anything like that. So that's mine, and I'm happy because I've heard, yeah, it's like, oh, you think that's a story, preacher? Let me tell you what happened when I was a kid. I've heard a few of those along the way. But imagine if there was a problem. And imagine if there was an issue, whatever it was. And what if Jesus walked up to his disciples and said, I want you to consider this. Now think about in our own lives that if we have someone that comes to us and says, you know what, you and I have a problem, now I want you to consider this. Where does that take our minds? Where does that take our thoughts? Where does that take our own behavior, that when someone says, I want you to consider this, or even better, when we say, you know, there's a couple of options, I want you to consider those. Well, it seems like their mind's already made up, right? It seems like they've spent some time, and they've thought about the problem, they've thought about the issue, and especially when they say there's a couple of options that we can pursue like here. But what Jesus has done is Jesus says that the opportunity that all of us have is that we are able to be captured by a flower, we are able to be captured by a bird, and as we focus our attention on that, and to look at it, and this is the part where God can begin to move, is that as we are able to look at that flower in the field, as we are able to observe that bird that is in the air, consider, having looked, now consider, what is God doing for them? How is God caring for them? How does God protect them? Just in case, and I'm so glad for this, but just in case we may not be fully recognizing what Jesus is doing as the Word of God that has truly come to life, he also invites these ideas. Well, birds, they neither gather into barns. These lilies that are in the flower, they never toil nor spin, so he invites us. He says, they don't do any of that, and yet God takes care of them. But you who have been created in God's image, you who have been, well, created of God's very work of art, you who have been created as God's workmanship, how much more do you think God is going to take care of you? And then that very famous phrase, O ye of little faith. You see, the most powerful thing about looking at what God has created, and in fact considering what God has created, or another way of saying that is reflecting on what is just right in front of us. This is the thing that scientists well, when they are doing their best breakthroughs and their best research, this is the exact formula that they're using. But when we look and when we consider, or in fact when we reflect on what we have just seen, and we begin to experience that as God's creation, well, that's the opportunity that we have for God to begin to, well, reshape our lives and remold our lives, or in another way, of being transformed into that image of God that God knows that we have all been created in. And therefore, having looked and considered in the presence of God, therefore there's no room to worry about today. Therefore there's no room to worry about what we are experiencing in this moment. There's going to be worries and there's going to be concerns. Notice this again. This is for the closest ones. This is for the disciples, as well as that those who continue, even as the day goes long, even as their stomachs begin to growl, even as darkness starts to come, those who continue to hang around the edges just wanting to hear the words that are coming out of Jesus' mouth. Perhaps maybe the ones who have known what John knew. This is truly God's word in flesh and blood right in front of us. But those who were there, just hanging on every single word, the closest ones to God, the closest ones to Jesus, knowing There's going to be more worry. There's going to be more concern tomorrow. But what God is giving you is enough for today. And it's not me, Jesus, that is leading you in this place, but it's also God's word speaking into your heart. So slowing down to begin to maybe look at some of those flowers, to maybe look and notice some of those birds that are flying by. Well, that can be a spiritual breakthrough in all of our lives. And it can truly lead us to hear the voice of God speaking to our hearts. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many voices and the many ways that you speak into our world. And we thank you, O God, for the love and for the care that we see evidence all around us. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you will equip us so that we may be able to look and to consider, Lord, those creatures that you love and that you care for. And Lord, we do pray that in our moments of stress and in our moments of anxiety, in our moments of worry, we pray, O God, that you will give us eyes, that you will give us reflection, that you will give us enough audacity to consider, Lord, that you are truly caring for us, that you are truly bringing us through a moment of spiritual transformation. We pray and we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
See?